Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Now back to The Fan Late Night with Sean Drotar on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Terrific day for the Colorado Rockies. Nolan Arenado ends up being in the news. Larry Walker gets it for the day. He's in the Hall of Fame. Talked about that over the last segment. And Walker's election really validates a quarter century of Rockies baseball. But it is the situation around Arenado that is also very intriguing. But the person on top of both of these things, of course, is MLB.com's Thomas Harding. Thomas, it's good to talk to you again. It's been a while. I guess first things first, what does this mean for the Rockies and for Walker himself to make this kind of massive leap in four seasons, up 61 percentage points to jump into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, that was really big to make that jump. And as this got closer over the years especially, it's funny, I remember talking to Walker once during his career. And I asked him about the Hall of Fame, and he looked at me and he said, Thomas, the only way I'm getting into the Hall of Fame is with a ticket. He really believed that at the time, but this is one of the reasons why I think that the time on the ballot really helps a player, because as he looked back at his career and as we looked at the numbers and the sabermetric community was able to compare the numbers here versus numbers elsewhere, it's like, that was really a good career. And I think one of the underrated parts of Larry's career, yes, he dealt with a lot of injuries, but at no time during that era was he linked to performance-enhancing drugs. And let's face it, a lot of guys who stayed on the field a lot more had that cloud all over them. So you look at what Larry Walker did, just the unbelievable numbers, also the defense. Also, yes, he dealt with the injuries, but he did things in a way that during that era, you didn't have to do things the right way. You didn't have to not use performance-enhancing drugs because there was no program. I think that looking back at that career, it's like, wow, that was a lot better than maybe at times we thought it was during the career.
Yeah, especially, you know, the guys that he beat out in this election, Barry Bonds, Curt Schilling, and people seem to be turning away from that stigma as time goes on. But I mentioned before you came on, looking at the numbers, and like you talked about, the sabermetrics, it seems more and more now that the advanced statistics that are arriving in baseball, people are starting to be able to look at them retroactively for guys like Larry Walker and say, wow, I didn't really realize how good an all-around player he was. It took me this long to understand it. And some of it's because of new data that's basically recently been invented.
Yeah, some of it is that. Some of it is even in real time, I don't think people really could put it into perspective on Larry exactly what it was. And let's face it, a lot of it was, I mean, if you look at the numbers that he put up, say he had played for the New York Yankees, then we would be talking about what he did in the playoffs and what he did in certain big games. The fact that he made the playoffs once with the Rockies, twice with the Cardinals at the very end of his career, a national audience and a national group of writers did not see him. And as much as I love writers, since I am one, sometimes there's that prejudice that you vote for what you see, or there's that thing, gee, because he didn't play in playoffs every year or a bunch of years, he must not have been good, which on the face of it is absurd for a baseball player. I mean, if you're a good player, a lot of the good players either, they're going to put up numbers no matter who they play for.
Yeah, I think that obviously makes a lot of sense, and there's generations of Cubs who, at least for the most part, till a couple years ago, would have agreed with you. Let's hop over. You had the story. This is, literally, you had the story. You were getting the text messages. Just briefly summarize what's going on with the Nolan Arenado situation.
Yes, well, and it's funny too, because throughout this whole winter, a lot of people have kind of assigned some motives to Arenado, assigned some motives to the club there. So what I'm going to do, and what I did last night was, okay, Jeff Bridge came out of the Denver Post and said, we're not trading him. He's going to be our third baseman to start the year. So I just simply sent, asked Nolan, what are your feelings about what Jeff said? And that was his response, that he had felt disrespected by the club. Now, he didn't go into exactly why he was disrespected. He didn't go into his quarrel with the club, although you look at the fact that they haven't spent any money this offseason. They haven't signed a major league player or made a trade. And you knew that he, along with other people, were upset at how last season ended, and they were looking for change. When you talk to the Rockies, though, at the end of the season, they felt like a lot of their guys that struggled could bounce back this year. And if you look at the payroll, frankly, it's a very hamstrung payroll. It was the 11th highest in the major leagues. And if you look at it, I think Denver's the 17th media market, and three of the four two-team cities. All but one of the teams in two-team cities, really, you would say that they have a higher revenue model than the Rockies. So the Rockies have spent money. The problem is they spent some money on players that either got hurt, didn't perform, and they could not move them. So they're hamstrung in that way. And now they're hamstrung because Arenado, hey, these careers are short. You want to go to the playoffs. You want to go to the World Series. And he is looking and saying, hey, this is not what I expected. So there's a bit of a quarrel there between the two of them. They don't have to trade Arenado, even if he wants to go. The way the contract works, he could opt out after 3 years, which is 2 years from now. And the Rockies very well could say, okay, listen, we know you're unhappy. You do have that opt out there, but we do have a contract. Let's see what we can do. Maybe if we win, then we all win, and you can get your free agent deal elsewhere.
We're talking with MLB.com's Thomas Harding. Follow him on Twitter, Harding_@_MLB. And the season hasn't started, Thomas, obviously, but you've seen these kind of situations happen before. How is this generally received in the locker room? Because the argument on Nolan Arenado's side is pretty clear cut. I signed a big deal. I committed for a long time. We were going to make a championship run, and here it is on January 21st, and you have yet to sign a single major league player or make any additions to the major league squad, and we were a fourth-place team last year. What's the deal? At the same time, those guys are his teammates. How have you seen these things play out in the past when these sort of situations come about, when a star player can justifiably say, my team's not been improved, but that's still the guys you have to go to battle with every day?
Yeah, that's a very difficult situation, if you ask me. And what I found being around pro sports as long as I have, and I've been around all of them, is that you sometimes have as many different opinions as you have players. I mean, some of those pitchers, if you look at them, for two seasons, the Rockies had never been to the playoffs two straight seasons. And for two seasons, a very young pitching staff was the backbone of going to the playoffs. A lot of those guys got hurt last year. How do the pitchers feel about this? Pitchers and hitters, they're kind of born opposites anyhow. And the pitchers could say, hey, wait a second. We started 3-12 and went 6-19 in July. The top hitters on the team were all slumping at the time, so it's not all on them. However, you probably have some players who will say, yeah, Nolan, at least you have the hammer to say these things. We may feel this way also, but we don't have a no-trade clause and an opt-out, so we really can't go public with it. So I think that there'll be as many opinions as there are players. One of the things that I've seen over the last 3 years is that Bud Black, the manager, can seem to find a way to handle all these diverse personalities. You don't have to agree on everything, but you do have to play together. You do have to work together, whether you're pitchers and hitters or guys within the same club, young guys, older guys. You do have to find a way to work together to try to win games. And then, but after that, I guess in a lot of ways, you're a business person, so is the team, and you try to find ways to do business together, and that's how you end up with some disagreements.
We've seen teams, we've seen it with the Rockies, you've seen it with baseball teams everywhere, you've seen it with pro sports teams everywhere, where the locker room is sometimes at odds with the front office. Now, it might not be about Bud Black, it may be about Jeff Bridich, and that seems to be some of the sticking point here. How do you see that playing out in the near term, say between now and the All-Star break?
Well, the question is how they do on the field. I mean, yeah, there is going to be that, and certainly from the outside, it looks like it. But definitely with Nolan and the front office with Jeff Bridich, definitely there seems to be an issue there. The question is, though, for me, it gets back to, can the pitchers who struggled last year, not only the younger pitcher like Kyle Freeland, but the guys in the bullpen that have been around, can they find a way to get back? They're counting on Wade Davis to pitch well. And sometimes when I look at these teams, I'm thinking, if you can get good starting pitching and get the ball to a closer that is dependable, a lot of these problems go away. I remember there were times that the Rockies struggled, especially hitting on the road, but yet ended up with a winning record because pitching wins games. So it has to come down to performance on the field. Obviously, a lot of these things can split a clubhouse apart, but hey, when I was growing up, the Oakland A's were having fist fights in the clubhouse before World Series games, and they won 3 World Series in a row. So it's possible to do this with that kind of discord. You would rather not have it, but it is possible.
He is Thomas Harding of MLB.com. Follow him on Twitter at Harding_@_MLB. Remember, folks, pitchers and catchers report in just about 3 weeks. So give Thomas a follow, because from now until then, all the good stuff's going to be coming out. Thank you for the time. I mean, you've been the guy on the spot for this, and all the Rockies news happens at once, and it's terrific to get a chance to talk to you again. I'm looking forward to doing it as we get closer to the season and into the summer.
Hey, thanks for having me. I mean, yeah, it's an interesting time around there. And let's face it, if there isn't a trade, as I've been saying all day, it's going to make for some great people watching in spring training, how they pull this together, or if they pull this together, or does it end up a complete mess? We're not sure, but we'll be following it all along. And that's what I love about baseball, is it seems like you have these all over the place, these little situations where someone may be unhappy or someone may want to be traded, but is it possible to win with it? Or does the move that you make open things up for you to where that team that gets rid of the star player ends up playing well?
We shall see, and we shall see soon. Thanks a bunch, Thomas. Have a good night.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thomas Harding, MLB.com. He is the man who, for when it comes to following this club, go ahead and give him a follow. Read everything. You will be better informed than virtually any of your friends. And again, pitchers and catchers report, and that's right, 3 weeks. If you think I'm counting the days, yeah, you're right. Also counting the days, look, the NFL draft is coming up, and the postseason showcases are happening. And our own Cecil Lammy is out there. He's looking at what the Broncos are looking at. We'll find out what that is next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.